Mark chapter 6,
verse 45, we read from Mark 6, verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. In this account of the miracle of the Lord Jesus walking on the sea, the only words that the Saviour speaks are recorded in verse 50. I draw your attention to them. At the end of verse 50, he says, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Here are three expressions. Two are commands. The first and the last expression are commands. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. And in the middle, there is this expression, it is I. Two commands with that statement in the center. The Lord Jesus gives commands. He can give commands in a way that nobody else can give commands. His commands have power. They have authority. When he commands, there comes grace along with it to obey. You'll notice that the first command is positive. Be of good cheer. The second command is negative. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. There are things the Lord commands us to do and to be of good cheer. And there are things that the Lord commands us not to do and not to be. Don't be afraid. That's how the Lord always works with us. He gives us positive commands. He gives us the equivalent and negative commands. They kind of mean the same thing, don't they? We should be of good cheer as Christians. And as Christians, we shouldn't be alarmed or discouraged or fearful. To be of good cheer is to be comforted, to be cheerful, to take heart, to be upbeat, to be quietly glad and content. To not be afraid is just to say the same thing in a negative kind of way. Don't be distressed. Don't worry. Don't fret yourself. Don't be uncomfortable. If anybody else was to say this to the disciples, it would all be powerless and meaningless. I mean, if I just went to you, you're in deep trouble, you're terrified, you're going through a hard time, and if I just went to you and said, be of good courage, don't be afraid, it wouldn't really mean much, would it? It's no power. Just me speaking. Your friend could say the same, and it wouldn't mean much, because the words in themselves are not enough. There has to be something else. That means you can be of good cheer. And there has to be something else that means you don't have to be afraid. And that's why the pastor will have to add something else. Be of good cheer, don't be afraid. And he'll give you a word from God, this and that and the other. He has to add something else, you see. Something else will cause you to be cheerful and to be unafraid. Something like, you know, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. So be of good cheer and don't be afraid. Maybe your friend or your pastor might be able to say something like that and help you out. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord, he backs these two statements together by this word in the middle.
He ties them together. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. And together he ties them with this truth. It is I. It's me. And whenever the Lord Jesus says that, it is I. That's powerful. That's mighty. That's encouraging. And the I in the text is emphatic in the original. It's me.
That ought to comfort you. No preacher dare say that. I mean, if I walked into your house, you're down in the dumps, and I said, be of good cheer, don't be afraid, it's me. That wouldn't do much good for you, would it? But the Lord Jesus, you see, it's I. That makes a difference. That makes it mighty. That makes it powerful. I'm here. If your friends talk like that, if the minister talk like that, that would be pompous. For the Lord Jesus to talk like that, that's not pompous. That's the truth. It's I. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be discouraged. It is I. That's what I want to talk about this morning. It is I. Whenever the Lord said, it is I, that was enough. That done the job. That brought the peace. That took away all their fears. That drove away all the terrors that they were feeling, all the alarm that they were experiencing, all that they were undergoing. Whenever the Lord just said, it is I, it all flew away. It all went because his presence became evident, and it was enough. It's just for enough for the Lord to say, it is I. It was a very terrifying experience for them, as you know. It was evening time. It was coming on dark. Whenever the Lord Jesus finally walked on the waters, it was fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And there they are, still struggling away in the sea, in the lake. Not making any progress, not getting anywhere. It's dark, it's cold, it's damp, it's terrifying. They're only halfway across. They're toiling. What does it say there? That they were toiling, they were struggling. The wind was contrary unto them. They were facing this opposition. They weren't getting anywhere against the wind. And what is more, for all their labor and all their toiling, they see this phantom, what they think is a phantom, this spirit that seems to be walking on the waves. And they're terrified. It's a frightening apparition. They can't explain it. How can anybody move on the waves like that, on that stormy sea, move across so swiftly and make progress across the lake? And we're struggling. We can't even row through it. And there's this phantom making progress across it as easy as anything. It must be a spirit. And they think they see a ghost. And they're troubled. They're terrified. They're alarmed. They even cry out. So it's a very difficult time. Dark and windy. Their hair must be standing up on end and seeing this apparition. It's not natural. It's not normal. They're filled with fears. But then the Lord says, it is I. It is I. That changed everything in their minds and hearts with regards to how they were feeling. And soon the change came outward as well, for the Lord stilled the storm and they arrived at the haven of rest. But it was this word, that's what I want to get into your mind and heart this morning. I want you to take this word. Whenever you feel yourself in a similar situation, I want this word to be ground into your mind. The word of the Lord Jesus, it is I. I'm still here. It's me. You notice that he doesn't even say who he is. He doesn't have to say, it's me, Jesus. It is I, the Lord, your master. He doesn't even have to say that. He doesn't have to say anything like that. He just speaks and they recognize the voice. They recognize its tone. They recognize its gentleness. They recognize its comfort. He just says, it's I. They know it's the Lord.
They know his voice, you see. The sheep know his voice. They recognize its tone, its sweetness, its comfort, its grace, its kindness. They know it well. They know that no man speaks like this man, that no man has such gracious words as this man, and no man expresses them in such a gracious way as this man. Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. They recognize the voice. They know the shepherd. They know his voice. You know, Matthew and John also tell the same story. They each, of course, give their own angle on the story, and their angle in particular is each different and interesting. All of them, however, highlight the comforting and commanding presence, and particularly this word, it is I. They all highlight that, and they record it. Now, Matthew tells us of Peter's forwardness at the time and his endeavor also to walk on the water and to come to the Lord. But, you know, Mark doesn't mention that because, well, Peter's really the man behind Mark's gospel. It's Peter's gospel, Mark's gospel, and Peter doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't want to highlight that. He doesn't want to bring that into the story. He doesn't want to highlight himself. He doesn't want to say in the story, it is I. It's me. He tried to highlight himself. He wanted to walk on the sea. He wanted to be like Jesus. He wanted to be the big man. And he wanted to step out. And he wanted to be in the story. And he wanted to bring preeminence to himself. And he wanted to say, it's me, look at me. And it all went wrong. And Peter doesn't tell us about that in Mark's gospel. He blots that out. That's not for telling. There's only one who has preeminence in this story. It's Jesus Christ, the one who truly can say, look at me, it's I. The attention, the focus, the drama is on me. It's on Jesus, the camera. Peter doesn't want to take it off Jesus and put it onto himself, sinking down in the sea. Although Matthew, for another reason, he gives us that video look of Peter sinking. He tells the story different. But not Peter. The only thing that we need to know this morning is that the Lord Jesus says, it is I. It is I. He is the one who walks on the waves, not the one who sinks into them. He is the one who saves the church in the storm, not the one who needs saved out of the storm, like Peter did. No, Christ is the focus. He is the one who says this morning. This word of the Lord, it is I, sets forth to us several things. First of all, it proclaims his sovereignty over all. You know, there's much in this story that is very like our case, very like our position, in which we, the church and believers, find themselves today. That boat is the church. All the apostles are in it. That's the little church. That's the little nucleus. That's the beginning of it. And there it is on the sea of life, in the midst of the sea, trying to get to the other side, trying to make the journey that the Lord Jesus Christ sent them on to the other side. And they're making very little progress, and they're getting it tight. And they're struggling. And you know, we're like that still. The church is still the same. The church is still in the vessel. The church is still on the sea of life. The church is still on the journey to the other side, to the haven of rest. The church is still toiling. We saw that in our studies in the book of the Revelation. We don't rest from our labors until we die and enter into rest. It's toiling. It's laboring. It's rowing the boat. It's trying to make progress in the work of God. It's trying to go forward. And some of the time we seem we're going backward. And many of the time we don't seem to be moving at all. We're just stuck in the middle of the lake. It's a struggle. It's a battle. As we make our way to the other side. And Christ, where is he? He's gone up into the mountain. He's gone up into the mountain alone to pray and to intercede. And that's what it's like now. We're in the boat. We're struggling in the sea of life. And where's our Lord Jesus? He's up in the heights. He's up in the mountaintop. He's at the Father's right hand. He's praying. He's interceding. He's ascended up into the hill of the Lord to pray for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And before he went up, he sent us on a mission. That's what he did here. He constrained his disciples. He told them to get into the boat. He sent them on a mission. He pushed them into the other side. Make your journey over to Bethsaida. And he goes up and he leaves them alone. And he goes up to pray. And that's the way it is for the church. The Lord Jesus has left us. He's ascended up on high. He makes intercession for us in the Holy Mount. We're on his mission. He gave us a commission before he left us. He put us in the boat. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says this gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness. And he gave us a great commission. And the church is under the constraint to be in this boat and in its mission, getting to the other side. And so the church and believers are on the sea of life struggling. And Christ is not in the vessel, but he's at the right hand of God. He's gone away. And we toil and we battle and we row through the darkness in the night of this world. And the church, there it is, in the solitary light, in the midst of the dark place, struggling away through it, rowing and roaming through the lake. Now, the story before us is true, it's history. But we cannot but feel the Lord is making it a kind of a prophecy too, isn't he? That's why it's in the Bible. He has created the history that is prophetic. He made this incident by doing this, and he planned it, and he's put it in Scripture, and it's a kind of prophetic encouragement for us. Because we're going to find ourselves here many a time, rowing away in the night, little encouragement, and many things to cause us to be afraid and to be alarmed. And sometimes, if you can imagine these men in the boat, that's how a child of God sometimes feels. Remember poor Jacob? He felt like that one time. Remember he said in his journey of life, he'd lost Joseph. He thought he'd lost Benjamin as well. He was bereaved of his two dearest and his most loved sons, and he thought they were dead. He said, all these things are against me. The wind's blowing contrary. I'm getting it tough. Even as an old man, near the end of life, it's still tough. And brethren and sisters, the winds of life will blow contrary to you many a time. Many a time you'll get it rough. Many a time you'll have a bereavement. Many a time you'll have a loss. Many a time you'll suffer. You'll have many griefs. Life's a chore. And continuing in it is difficult and hard. And here it is. It's pictured. It's pictured for us. In the midst of the lake. You remember poor David? Trying to work and to serve God under Saul's rule. Trying to row his boat to the glory of God and just make it through life to God's glory. How hard it was for him to labor under that envious man who made his life a misery, who tricked him, who persecuted him, who abhorred him, who slandered him, and David's in the boat, and so discouraged is he in his soul that he says, I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul. There's nothing better than I should do that I should escape into the land of the Philistines. I mean, imagine being constrained to do that. He killed Goliath, he fought the Philistines, and now he's constrained to go to the land of the Philistines to find some hiding place and to find some refuge. And he got there, it wasn't that. He had to play the madman, as you know, and it was a very difficult situation for him. And he wrote other psalms at that time as well, so hard and difficult was it for him. He's toiling. He's finding it tough. And people of God, that's the way it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In your journey through the sea of life, there'll be many a contrary wind. Matthew says the ship was tossed. It was tossed with the waves. You'll be tossed. In fact, sometimes God addresses his people as those who are afflicted and tossed. Oh, thou afflicted and tossed with tempest. He wants to comfort us. He knows our state. He knows our position. And he sees that we're afflicted. He sees that we're being tossed. The Lord knows when you're tossed. Do you feel tossed today, up and down? Have you had such a week, last week, that you've just been tossed about? Well, here you are. You're like these disciples in the boat. You've been forsaken. You've been hated by others. You've been persecuted. You remember how the psalmist says, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up. Many a time, he repeats it, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. I find life hard, the psalmist tells the Lord. The ploughers ploughed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Remember how the apostles exhorted the disciples, and they said, you know, you need to be confirmed in the faith. You need to be strengthened in the faith, because we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And this is it pictured here. The disciples are learning that the little church is going to get it hard, going to get it difficult. But here's one who's in control, who is not hindered, who walks on the sea, who knows all, who sees all. You know what he was doing in the Holy Mount? You know, the mountains around the Sea of Galilee, they overlook the Sea of Galilee. They give a commanding view. You can see everything that's happening on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know how you can see in the dark, but it's the Lord Jesus you see. The moon was probably shining as well, but he saw them. You know, we think it's so dark the Lord doesn't see us. He's up there in heaven at the right hand of God. He doesn't see us. He doesn't know what we're going through. That's wrong. He knows. He sees. He has the commanding view from the right hand of the Father. And he sees you on the sea of life, tossed about, having the contrary winds to face, toiling in the rowing. He sees. And he says, it's I. Do you hear it this morning? He's saying to you, it is I. You got it rough last week, but it is I. You've been tossed. You've been turned up and down. You've been through the mill, but it is I. I who have just fed the multitude. I who have stilled the storm and quietened the waves on the trip that we made to rescue Legion. I who set Legion free. It is I. It's the same Lord. It's the sovereign over nature. It's the one who rides the storm. It's the one who rides sicknesses and diseases. I, the one who sent you into this boat. I who put you into this boat. I who commanded you to go across the sea. I who knew the storms and the winds that you would face. I who knew the difficulty that you would come across. I still sent you on the mission. I still launched your boat. I was up there at the Holy Mount praying for you, but I sent you on the mission. I know what you're going to go through. I have sent you on the mission to go through it. It is I, the one who launched your boat, the one who set you on the sea of life. You know, whatever difficulty we face, the Lord knows, because he's put us in that path. He's put us in that boat, and he's directed the boat along that direction. And he knows what we face. He has ordained these things so that we will trust him and learn about him and love him more and discover more of his greatness and his sweetness and more of his grace. It's I, the one who is seen all and over all. You know, sometimes the Lord's ways are mysterious. We can't explain. Why did the Lord send them? Did he not know it was getting dark? Did he not know the wind was in the contrary direction to which they were going? Did he not know they'd be stuck there in the middle of the lake? Does he not care? Does he not see? He does see, and he knows. And whenever they hear that voice, it is I. They know that the Sovereign One has spoken. It's I. Brethren and sisters, he has not left you alone to row. He watches you. He sees you, he sees all, and he comes along at the opportune time when you just need to hear it. And he says, it is I. It is I. Maybe that's the word you need to hear this morning, child of God. You need to hear the Lord's voice. It is I. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you have been facing. He knows that you've cried out unto Him. And when they cried out unto Him, it was then that they said, "It is I." Have you been crying out unto the Lord this week? You don't know what has been happening to you. You can't understand. It's been so difficult, so dark, so lonely, and you've just cried out unto the Lord. Well, here He's coming this morning with His word. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I. It's the Lord. He knows. He has chosen these tossings for you, that you may know His strength and your weakness, that He may try your patience, that He may increase your faith, that He may show you how much you need Him, and that He may have the glory of delivering you and comforting you in all your trial, and that you may learn to lean upon Him. Brethren and sisters, He'll never leave you to perish. He'll always come and say, "It is I. It is I." So this word also rectifies the wrong thinking that they had. Not only does it show His sovereignty over all, His commanding presence in the midst of the storm, but it also corrects their thinking. They misread the situation, didn't they? They misinterpreted it all, because it says there in verse 49, when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out, and they all saw Him, and they all had the same idea, the same interpretation of this event. It was a ghost, it was a phantom, it was a spirit moving on the waters. In their wrong thinking, they were terrified. They misinterpreted what they saw, what seemed to be that they were seeing. They misinterpreted, that filled them with alarming fears. And those fears were really needless. Because the Lord said, "It is I. It's me in that." You've misread the whole situation. You've misinterpreted. You're without comfort for nothing. You're filled with fears for nothing. Because it's me. I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who walked on the waves. They thought it was a ghost, and all the time it was the Lord. They thought it was a terror and a harm and a bad omen, and all the while it was good, it was the Lord. He was near. He was passing by them. We're like that, aren't we? We misread providence. We misinterpret things. Things happen to us, and things seem frightening, and things seem alarming, and we never say, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." Brothers and sisters, everything that happens to you in the sovereignty and in the providence of God, and you really are going to have to learn to say, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord in this." If He sends us a sickness, if He gives us a trial, if there's something that terrifies us, we're going to have to say to ourselves, "It is the Lord. He's in this. I'm misreading this altogether. I'm being alarmed without cause. The Lord is in it." We need to see the Lord in the storm. We need to see the Lord in the darkness. We need to see that it is the Lord. We don't really need to be so frightened, do we? Whatever we face, where is our faith? Where's our trust? We should not misread and misinterpret providence, brothers and sisters. It's very hard to read. It's very hard to see. It's very hard to understand. But if we can just hear this voice in all the mystery of providence, "It is I," that makes a difference. You know, that's what the old men of God had to say. They lost everything. They lost all. You remember Aaron? He lost his sons. You remember Job? He lost his lovely family and so much of his property. And what did he have to learn to say? What did those men of God have to learn to say? They had to learn to say, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It's the Lord. And it is I. It is I in this storm. It is I in this dark night. It is I in this mysterious providence. It is I in all those alarms and fears that you are suffering. Your alarms are really senseless. They're not necessary. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I. The master of the sea. The master of the storm. I do not say that your alarms are painless. They are not painless. Your alarms and your fears are very real. But very often, the ground on which they have arisen, you have misinterpreted. And you don't see the Lord in them all. Try to see the Lord's hand in all the trials that you face. It makes it so much easier. Far more easier to be of good cheer and not to be afraid whenever you can say, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It is I. It not only shows his sovereignty, it not only rectifies their foolish thinking, it also assures of his presence. Now they know he has not left them. It is I. Oh, we have his presence. We have him here in the midst of the storm. And so he's saying, I am here. You don't need to be alarmed anymore. You don't need to be cheerless anymore. I have not left you. I have not deserted you. It is I. He is assuring them of his presence. On the sea of life, the Lord is with you. He can say to you, it is I am with you. Through the storms, it is I, and all the country ruin, against all the winds, the struggling church can still be assured of the presence of Christ. It is I, me, I who have said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Where's your faith? Do you not know? I watch over you as you cross to the other side. Where's your faith? I am with you always. I'm with you to the end. I will never leave you, never forsake you. The lesson is very simple today, and with this I close. You don't need to be afraid, because God is your salvation. And you can say, I will trust him. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Trust and believe his word. And in the trouble, hear this voice. It is I. So don't be afraid. Only believe. Only trust in him at all times. Let us pray.